Thank you, Maria, for that incredibly kind introduction. That's quite a lot to live up to. Thank you also to Emma for the invitation to come here and Jenny for the original invitation to come and speak. It's a real privilege to speak in this environment. So, gesture has always played a significant role in Jean-Luc Godard's work. The concern with expressive human motion, evident in his early theatrical feature films, was indebted to the phenomenology of Jean-Paul Sartre and Maurice Merleau-Ponty. In the 1970s, as Michael Witt and Douglas Murray have shown, his images of the mobile gestural body were influenced by Étienne Jules Marais' chronophotographic studies of movement and Gilles Deleuze, Félix Guattari's, and Michel Foucault's writings on desire, production, and power. During this decade, Godard and his long-term collaborator Anne-Marie Mieville began to use video technology to fragment and analyse corporeal motion. Their jointly made television series, France Tour des Tours des Enfants from 1979, for example, employed variations in videotape speed to defamiliarise everyday actions and thereby question the uses ascribed to the body by capitalism. Indeed, for Alain Berkeley, an explicit theory of gesture, quoting, emerges in Godard's work during this period. This interest in the composition, interstices, and communicative capacity of motion has not waned in Godard's later experiments in film and video, where human gesture continues to signify self-reflexively in relation to the movement, actual and virtual, of images. Rather than tracing the recurrence of specific types of gestural sign through Godard's oeuvre, this paper will explore insights offered in several of his later works into gesture per se, that is, the expressive displacement of a body or limb in space and time, and its relationship to lens-based media and the visual arts. Since the meaning of gesture varies from film to film, no single approach will account for its full import in any period of Godard's career. A distinctive set of interrelated phenomena, however, is often associated with the expressive body in his works of the 1980s and 90s, love, beauty, and religion. The allusions to sacred images, texts, and music that proliferate in these films have led to critical discussion of their appeal to Christianity and, more broadly, to mystery. Some commentators have discerned in this turn to metaphysical themes, particularly during what has become known as Godard's cosmic period in the early 1980s, a retreat from the materialism that characterised his work in the aftermath of 1968. Laura Mulvey, for example, contends that, I quote, the last traces of an analytical, politically radical Godard, end quote, disappeared between Sauf qui peut la vie from 1979 and Passion from 1982, when his priorities shifted away from a, quote, materialist curiosity, end quote, to the mysteries of art and creativity. Similarly, for Jacques Rancière, the appropriative methods that Godard used to produce dialectical conflict in the 1970s served the opposite purpose of expressing co-presence and ensuring, quote, the logic of mystery in the video essay Histoire du cinéma, finished in 1998. Accordingly, in his later films, the body, and especially the female body, has frequently been seen as designating the inexplicable, the ineffable, or the spiritual. I want to draw attention to a concern with the material image and world which persists in Godard's treatments of metaphysical themes and is crystallised around gesture. To this end, I will focus on sequences from the feature film Passion and the video Scénario du film Passion, also from 1982, while making briefer reference to Histoire du cinéma. My contention is that the mystical dimensions of these works are inextricable from their preoccupation with the organic matter of the body in and of the image. What links the spiritual to the material in Godard's intermedial layerings of gesture, I suggest, are concepts of kinesis, force and energy. I argue further that these moments foreground a key aim of Godard's wider project, to make energy visible by showing its transformative effect on matter. Okay. If I can, I'd like to show a short 2-minute clip from towards the end of Passion. Oh no, it's the DVD. Little bit of sound. Okay, I'm going to talk briefly in more general terms about the film and then move back to thinking about the sequence. So Passion recounts the story of Isabelle, played by Isabelle Huppert, who loses her job in a factory at the outset of the narrative, and her lover Jerzy, played by Jerzy Radziwiłłowicz, who is making a film based on celebrated paintings from the classical European canon. Godard's film cross-cuts between the manufacturing space and a studio where models hired from the factory reconstruct the artworks in the form of elaborate tableaux vivants, such as the version of El Greco's altarpiece, The Virgin of the Immaculate Conception, that appears in the extract that we have just seen. This tableau is part of a dense and ambivalent network of references to Christianity that extends throughout the film and encompasses sound as well as image. Godard's score grants a prominent position to church music, including extracts from Mozart's and Fauré's requiems. The spiritual orientation implied by these painted and musical intertexts is both accentuated and ambiguated by the double meaning, human and theological, of the film's title. On the one hand, the human passions embodied by Jerzy and Isabel question the opposition between love and labour associated with capitalism, that Godard associates with capitalism, one of a series of antitheses that the film erects only to dismantle. On the other hand, one of Isabel's first lines, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" introduces resonances of the crucifixion that will persist throughout the film and cling to its depictions of human suffering and love. The collapse of the boundary between the sacred and the profane in the film is exemplified by the juxtaposition of Jerzy's rendering of El Greco's celestial vision with Isabel's initiation to sex. As Kaja Silverman points out, this sequence, quote, repeatedly situates elements belonging to the Immaculate Conception in the scene in Isabel's bedroom and elements belonging to the sex scene in the biblical scene. Isabel is identified here with the Virgin Mary rather than Christ, a link reinforced by her prayer, the strains of the Agnus Dei from Fauré's Mass that bridge the cut from studio to the bedroom and preempt her words, and by gesture, she raises her left hand across her chest to assume a similar pose to the model standing in from Mary. At the same time, her nudity is mirrored in the tableau by an angel who appears fully clothed in El Greco's canvas. The mutual contamination of the two scenes seems to anticipate the instrumentalization of the feminine, polarized between carnality and spirituality, to signify, quote, other more profound mysteries, end quote, that Malvi discerns in Godard's next two features, Prénom Carmen and Je vous salue Marie. Yet the pronounced gestural patterning of the sequence points to an alternative way of understanding the Christian intertext of Passion that has to do instead with the material support of the image and the energies that flow through it. Passion's images of expressive bodily motion foreshadow the discussion of gesture contained in one of Giorgio Agamben's few essays on film. Agamben argues that silent cinema attempted simultaneously to mark and recuperate the loss of gestures that had impoverished communication amongst the Western bourgeoisie by the late 19th century. With reference to Abbé Warburg's studies of art and Edward Muybridge's attempts to capture and project movement, Agamben suggests that the image hosts a dialectic between stillness and motion that is encapsulated by gesture. Quote, every image, he writes, is animated by an antonymic polarity. On the one hand, images are the reification and obliteration of a gesture. On the other hand, they preserve the dynamis intact, end quote. This innate dynamism of the image means that even the immobile forms of painting can be seen as, quote, fragments of gesture or as stills of a lost film wherein only they would regain their true meaning, end quote. Cinematic projection, particularly in the case of silent film, unleashes these potential energies, or as Agamben puts it, quote, leads images back to the homeland of gesture. Passion's affinity with silent cinema resides in its experimentation with asynchronous sound. The frequent dislocation of bodies from voices draws attention to corporeal modes of expression. Moreover, Agamben's argument enables us to understand the film's intermedial reflections in gestural terms. Like Agamben, Godard uses gesture to unsettle the traditional antinomy between the static painted figure and the moving body projected in cinema. Passion is his first sustained engagement with the history of Western art, and in this respect, it can be seen as initiating a critical project that culminates in Histoire du cinéma. As James Williams observes, quote, Godard's is an essentially classical sense of European art and culture that advances no further into the story of modern art than Picasso, Francis Bacon, and Nicolas de Staël. Williams ascribes the paucity of references to more recent art works in Godard's oeuvre to his view of contemporary European culture as moribund. I would suggest that this neglect can also be attributed to a preference for the figurative over the abstract. Put simply, Godard favours images of recognisable human actions because he believes they reveal more about cinema. Passion is no exception to this general rule. The famous paintings to which it refers, Rembrandt's Night Watch, Goya's The Third of May, and Delacroix's The Entry of the Crusaders into Constantinople, amongst others, are replete with gesture. Furthermore, it is their gestural kinetic qualities that are brought to the fore by Godard's substitution of the ekphrastic form of the tableau vivant for the canvas. Unlike many of his other films, Passion contains no paintings. In her study, The Material Image, Brigitte Peucker notes that cinema has long been preoccupied with the tableau vivant as an instance of stillness, which reminds us conversely that film was the first visual art capable of bringing the fixed image to life. She argues that tableau vivant intensify film's intermediality, constituting, quote, a palimpsest or textual overlay simultaneously evocative of painting, drama and sculpture. For Peucker, such moments of arrested motion merge representation with reality and, quote, gesture towards materiality, towards a thingness that both written word and filmic image can only metaphorically suggest. In the tableau scenes in Passion, the friction between image and material body, illusion and reality, flatness and three-dimensionality, and in Agamben's terms, the obliteration and preservation of gesture, is exacerbated by ripples of movement. The roaming camera catches models fidgeting surreptitiously and playing covert games, as well as performing apparently choreographed manoeuvres. Thrown into relief by the stillness around them, these scattered gestures draw attention not only to corporeality and matter, in line with Peucker's remarks on the general properties of the tableau vivant in film, but also to the different forms of energy, potential and kinetic, which course through body and image. Godard's concern with energy is perhaps most tangible in the El Greco sequence. Jerzy's reconstruction of the Spanish painter's work nods to the religious customs that intersected with the tableau vivant tradition, as evoked, for example, in Goethe's novel Die Wahlverwandtschaften, Elective Affinities, which describes 18th century stagings of a nativity scene, as well as an array of images borrowed from the fine arts. Inherent to the Christian-themed tableau vivant are tensions between the real material body and the immaterial spiritual presence, human stasis and supernatural kinesis. These tensions are heightened in Godard's version by the dissolution of corporeality and emphasis on divine forces in the oil painting on which the tableau is based. The Virgin of the Immaculate Conception exemplifies a number of distinctive features of El Greco's late style. Naturalism is relinquished in favour of dramatically lit, elongated bodies and dynamically charged, churning gestural shapes that pulsate with transcendental energies. As one art historian notes of the picture, quote, "Forms have become dematerialized, the logic of gravity is subverted, and the distinction between the physical and the spiritual is abolished." Jiazi's tableau retains the principal figures of the original, their positions and postures. Furthermore, the virtual force which leads the viewer's eye from the base to the summit of the tableau, of the canvas, and appears to draw the Virgin, angels and cherubs heavenwards, is actualised in the film within the film by the curving ascent of two crane shots. Put this here. Bergala identifies in these camera movements the influence of the thought of Simone Weil, whose best-known text, La Pesanteur et la Grâce, Gravity and Grace, Godard gave Huppert to read in preparation for her role. According to Weil, quote, "all the natural movements of the soul are governed by laws analogous to those of physical gravity," end quote, a dragging downwards that is countervailed only by the ascending force of grace. We can resist this descent through the ethical act of giving up the self, or as Weil puts it, quote, "moral gravity makes us fall towards the heights." But Weil's writings also illuminate the ways in which Jiazi reworks and subverts the dynamic content of El Greco's painting. Like El Greco, Weil is preoccupied with degrees and flows of energy. Yet her account of this is informed by quantum physics and her experience of manual labour, as well as Catholic theology and Buddhist philosophy. Whereas El Greco's image deals exclusively with transcendental forces, Weil conceives both supernatural and human life in terms of energy and criticises the material conditions, such as conveyor belt factory work, that deplete this resource. Jiazi's mise-en-scène of El Greco's picture echoes Weil's preoccupation with materiality and finite energy without reasserting the primacy of the supernatural. Whereas the camera replicates the original framings of other paintings reconstituted in the film, this sequence offers no equivalent establishing view. We come to know the constellation of celestial figures exclusively through close-up tracking shots, which fragment the scene and revoke the spiritual unity expressed by its model. The rotating camera and the studio lighting insist on the tableau's three-dimensionality. A choreography of actual gesture emphasizes the corporeality of the figures, distancing them further from El Greco's dematerialized shapes. Furthermore, a third shot spirals back down the tableau as the scene is dismantled, foregrounding the laborious process of production. The association between art and work is undergirded by the cross-cutting between studio and bedroom. While the tableau renders the movement from painting to cinema, the painterly quality of Godard's images of Isabelle implies the reverse motion. The two scenes hesitate in different ways between fixity and movement, potential and kinetic energy. In the bedroom, the camera is stationary and the only moving object in the frame is Isabelle's left hand as it traces the slim curves of her body. Intermittent and understated, its motion is rendered more conspicuous by backlighting, the pink glow that limns her silhouette. Her caresses trigger memories of other kinds of manual gesture that we have seen her perform in the film. Passion introduces us to Isabelle through her moving hands. The first the first few shots in which she appears focus on her repetitive, mechanical actions as she labours on a factory production line. In Godard's film, as in Vale's writings, the routinised, fatigue-inducing motions of work play against their opposite, the movement and energy of grace, for these shots are intercut with spectacular images of the sky, and it is while toiling at a machine that she murmurs the words attributed to Christ on the cross. In the disparate settings of factory, bedroom, studio, then, spiritual matters and materialist concerns are connected by gestural expression, a concept that will move into the foreground in Godard's next project. Soon after completing Passion, Godard made a complementary work in video. Scénario du film Passion announces itself as a screenplay, but in fact uses the feature film as a point of departure for broader reflections on the cerebral and physical labour involved in creating images. The concern with gesture that remains largely unspoken in Passion is rendered more explicit and expansive in Scénario. First, the audiovisual essay incorporates and analyses images of the gestural body from the feature. Philippe Dubois distinguishes this use of video from Godard's earlier experiments with the technology. It is, I quote, no longer in the film, mixed in with its organic matter, with its body, but next to the films. The beginning of the 80s sees cinema and video in stereo, proceeding side by side, observing each other, the one thinking here what the other creates there. End of Dubois' quote. In Scénario, video thinks film as material and manipulable and investigates its perceived motion through techniques such as superimposition. Second, more than Passion, Scénario focuses on the physical gestures of image production. Here, the director's body takes centre stage. Godard shows himself in his video editing studio at Rolle, where the manual actions that create sounds and images and the extravagant gesticulations with which he punctuates his commentary are silhouetted against a blank white screen. Finally, by displaying the direct, instantaneous link between his movements and their effects on the visuals, video foregrounds what might be thought of as the gestural qualities of the image itself, which appears here in a sense as an extension of his body. Scénario is strewn with allusions to Christian art and writings, some of which are borrowed from Passion, some of which are new. It opens by revisiting the El Greco sequence from the feature. Godard fades the cinematic scenes into and out of video images of the editing suite so that his own movements are superimposed on those of the film's protagonists. The intrinsic intermediality and palimpsestic quality of the tableau vivant is deepened here by the overlaying of the separate representational system of video. The privileged role that expressive bodily motion will play in Scénario is further intimated by Godard's interruption of the imported sequence just after the emphatic gesture of the naked angel. Her appeal for silence marks the end of the epilogue and coincides with the final notes of the Pie Jesu from Fauré's Requiem. As Adrian Martin notices, the preface to Scénario is one of the few occasions in Godard's oeuvre when a piece of music, the soprano aria here, is heard from beginning to end without contamination by other sounds. In Passion, by contrast, the piece is interrupted midway through. For Martin, Godard's unusual treatment of the aria charges the opening of Scénario with an air of the sacred. In this respect, the epilogue foreshadows components of Godard's ensuing monologue, which employs elements from the Bible and other sacred texts as metaphors for aspects of the image-making process. Early on in the video, he questions the primacy of writing over vision in the Old Testament tradition by speculating that Moses may have seen the law before transcribing it. Later, he likens the white screen to Veronica's veil, an idea borrowed from André Bazin, and the body of the film to that of Christ. Josefa Leschitzky argues that the second simile implies, quote, the idea that the director is not a manufacturer of images, but rather a lover or creator of images, and thus the romantic notion of the artist who, like God, creates the world by word. Yet Godard's Christian metaphors pivot on the body, the gesture, Veronica wiping Christ's face, and indexicality, suggesting that what is at stake in them is the materiality and corporeality of film, and not only a romantic conception of the mystery of the creative process. The material nature of body and medium is also foregrounded in a sequence where Godard ruminates explicitly on the significance of gestures in the conceptual work behind Passion. I'd like to show you the sequence now. Again, it's about 2 minutes long.
Très particulier qui consiste à voir un scénario. C'est un travail, le monde du travail. Et puisqu'Isabelle est ouvrière dans le film, que le film copie la vie, il y a tout un travail d'enquête qu'on ne fait plus aujourd'hui de long. N'enquête pas dans la police avant de tourner un film policier. Spielberg n'enquête pas dans l'univers avant de tourner quelque chose avec les extraterrestres. Moi, Isabelle étant ouvrière, il fallait que je fasse une enquête. Une enquête dans une usine, que j'aille voir dans une usine. Que j'aille voir les gestes de cette ouvrière. Est-ce que ces gestes n'auraient pas à voir? Est-ce que ces gestes n'auraient pas à voir? Est-ce que là, avec les gestes de l'amour que j'avais mis, est-ce que ça n'aurait pas à voir avec l'ouvrière? Là. Est-ce que les gestes du travail n'ont pas à voir avec les gestes de la main, la Sainte Trinité, les trois là? Est-ce que dans le film, il n'y aurait pas quelque chose à voir avec la Sainte Trinité, l'amour, le travail et quelque chose entre les deux? Et Isabelle. Et l'amour. Et le travail. Et le travail de l'amour. Et l'amour du travail. Et la haine du travail. La haine du cinéma. L'amour du cinéma. Et le travail. C'est là que je me suis retrouvé, là on voyait donc le scénario commençait à pouvoir se construire et s'imaginer vraiment. On avait vu des choses, là quand je vois quelque chose comme ça, composer une image, composer le mouvement, effectivement, dans l'usine, on a vu que ce mouvement qui va à la machine, et le même un peu, c'est le même un peu que celui, on voit que c'est un peu le même mouvement. Et on peut voir que l'amour et le travail, c'est pas juste une connerie habituelle de Jean-Luc, c'est quelque chose qui existe.
So here, Godard elaborates on his critique of the antinomy between labour and love, with reference to an insight voiced in Passion by Isabelle. Noting that there seems to be a prohibition on representing the physical realities of both labour and love on the screen, she remarks, work is the same as pleasure. It may not be at the same speed, but it's the same gestures, end quote. Godard seeks to test and corroborate this tantalising proposition by intercutting and superimposing in various combinations a video image of the editing suite, single frame from Passion, documentary footage from his research, and Tintoretto's painting Bacchus and Ariadne. The director has already explained that Tintoretto's scene of love, which is not amongst the artworks recreated in Passion, was nevertheless a key inspiration for the film. Yet, as in Passion and in Vail's writings, the movements of labour and love are juxtaposed with a third term, religion. Godard queries, quote, don't the gestures of work have something to do with the hand gestures of the Holy Trinity, love, work, and something in between the two? In linking Isabel to Ariadne, who Bacchus made divine, moreover, Godard extends the range of his sacred reference points beyond the Christian sphere. Perhaps more directly than any other in Scenario, this sequence anticipates the dense intermedial palimpsests of gesture that proliferate in Histoire du Cinéma, and it's instructive to reconsider it through lenses supplied by criticism of the later work. Warburg's analyses of the afterlife of elements of antique gestural expression in Renaissance art have informed commentary on Godard's monumental video essay on cinema and history, just as they have Agamben's thinking on the medium. For Philippe Alain Michaud, Godard's graphic analysis of the relations between disparate forms and works of art in Histoire offers, quote, the most pertinent analogy to the Nemesine Atlas project. In a similar vein, Jacques Aumont suggests that Histoire invents a new pathos formel, or pathos formula, with its production of rapidly blinking images that evoke, quote, a pure energetics. Georges Didi Huberman, who also sees Godard as an unconscious heir of Warburg, describes the montage of Histoire as, quote, a gesture as complex as it is concrete, an unsummarizable gesture. Writing on expressive corporeal movement within the images, Bergala argues that gesture functions in the work as a privileged conduit of the sacred. Yet, in philosophical debate around Histoire, Godard's use of Christian texts and images has proved a sticking point. Such discussions have lingered in particular over a sequence in the first chapter where Godard links two still images of a convoy from Buchenwald to Dachau, a stop-started excerpt from George Stevens' feature film A Place in the Sun, and a detail from a Giotto fresco depicting Mary Magdalene. This is one of many moments where gesture appears to guide the montage, for Godard's superimpositions make Elizabeth Taylor appear first to caress the faces of the dead and then to reach out to the saint. Ranciere notes a correlation between the sequence and Godard's later invocation of the doctrine attributed to St. Paul that the image will come at the time of the resurrection. For Ranciere, the angel of resurrection, is figured in Taylor's stop-started rise from the water. Didi Huberman counters that the sequence functions dialectically. It registers the conflict, rather than dissolving the difference, between what he calls two image states, that of the Christian saint and that of the Hollywood star. Ranciere's and Didi Huberman's differing responses to Histoire throw light on the connections forged in Scenario between gesture and spirituality. In the excerpt I showed, Godard's assertions that the movements in Tintoretto's painting are identical to those performed in factories might superficially seem to erase difference. The dissolves and superimpositions are erotically and haptically charged. They create the impression that the mythical protagonists, the labouring women and Godard, are reaching out to and touching each other. This may at first glance appear merely to reiterate the association between the female body, mystery and the sacred that critics have discerned in the El Greco sequence in Passion. However, the montage reveals divergences and discrepancies, as well as making liaison. This is underscored most conspicuously by the gaps that open up between voice and image. The word labour coincides with Bacchus's amorous advances, the word love with the production line. Moreover, Godard draws attention to and plays on the material differences between painting, film and video as the sequence oscillates between stasis and motion. The montage diverts our attention away from the love theme of Tintoretto's painting to its treatment of transformation and its hesitation between stillness and life. Significantly, I had an image of that. Significantly, like the Virgin of the Immaculate Conception, Bacchus and Ariadne is animated by divine forces, and it's worth noting that Tintoretto's work was an influence on El Greco, so there is a connection between the two paintings. The virtual motion of the painting is actualized in the director's silhouetted gesticulations. In addition, there is the movement between images, the gesture of montage. What appears differentially in this overlaying of multiple gestures, that is, in the ellipses and distances between them, is energy in disparate forms, ranging from the light which illuminates the visuals via human and mechanical motion to the electronic pulses which produce the video image. So, to conclude, in her book, The Evolution of Film, Janet Harbord proposes that the medium can be conceived as, quote, a radar of the freedoms and constraints that condition flows of energy. For Harbord, filmic space and time, quote, allow us to conceive of the body in motion and not simply as movement, but as an entity through which differential forms of energy flow. While this insight leads Harbord to consider films in which mobility is blocked and overwhelmed by inertia, my reading of Godard has drawn attention instead to the visible pulsation of energy through the matter of the body and the image. A key function of the religious reference points in Passion and the accompanying video scenario, such as the works of El Greco, Vale and Tintoretto, is to provide accounts and manifestations of energy as emblematized by gesture. The superimpositions in Scénario have a similar function to the tableau vivant in Passion. They visualize energy by depicting matter in the process of transformation, in the dual sense of changing shape and moving between forms. Godard's treatment of gesture in Passion and Scénario, then, sheds fresh light on the vexed question of how to interpret his allusions to theology and the sacred. Attention to the energetics of gesture reveals that the often noted mystical dynamics of these works cannot be straightforwardly separated from their material preoccupations. Thank you.